Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you." And Jesus said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to Jesus, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" The disciples replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but is for those whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry at James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Peter, seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I had a little fun with the choir here about today's reading. Maybe even it was planned. Of course, we have a federal election coming up here. We're on the eve of it. I'm not going to speak about that. Vote your conscience is all I'll say. Because I think that when it comes to the community that we live in, the country we desire to live in, the world that we hope our children and grandchildren will inherit, is much more determined by the actions of 35 million people and the choices they make every day than the actions of 338 people in Ottawa. Often we can be focused on the things that divide us, the things that segregate us, the things that separate us, the things that make us different from one another. Income, age, race, class, place of birth, religious affiliation, the list can go on and on. If we get the long-form census, we are entitled to 300 questions that break our lives down into these very things. Where are we born? What is our native language? What is our income? What is our employment? What degrees do we hold? What is our profession, our career? Are we married? Are we single? Are we divorced? And the lists go on and on. And then with these, statisticians and demographers make up groups of people. That information is sold to advertisers, sold to cities and community planners and whatever it may be, to serve the needs of diverse and different segregated groups of people. But are we so different? Of course we are. We're all unique. We're all individuals. We all strive for different things. We all have different experiences. We all have lived different lives. We have all overcome different things. And we all have different worldviews. When I talk about the Canada or the community, the Battlefords that we want, if I were to ask you to describe your idealized place, we'd all have a different vision of what that would be. And that's fine. A few months ago, there's a football player. His name is Ronald Harrison. He is a running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he's probably a really good running back, and the people of Pittsburgh probably really enjoy his talent, the way he plays, but I'd never heard of him before. But he became very famous. He did something that was not just a football story, that became a debate about parenting, a debate about our school system, a debate about sports in general. His children, who were playing minor league baseball, came home with big trophies. He took pictures of these trophies. And they were sportsmanship awards. Their children didn't win first place. His children didn't win most improved. His children didn't win highest hit average, best ERA, best center fielder, whatever it may be. They were simply participation awards. Achievement awards. Just the fact this child played baseball, showed up for practices and games, they gave him a big golden trophy. And he made his children take that trophy back to the league. He said they didn't earn that trophy. Simply showing up for practice, showing up for game day, is not trophy worthy. They need to do something outstanding. Win the pennant. Be the best pitcher. Have the best batting average. Whatever it may be, they need to do something to single themselves out from the group that they played with. To simply give a participation ribbon has no meaning, according to him. If everybody gets it, then it's not special. It doesn't signify anything. It doesn't encourage anything. It's simply, hey, you showed up, here's an award. He said, life doesn't work like that. If I simply show up to games and don't perform, I am fired. If you're selling cars and you go to the car dealership and you don't sell a car, you don't get a paycheck. All of us in our careers know this. We don't simply fill a title. We don't just simply fill a role. There's expectations. There are performance evaluations, they're called. How are we doing on this certain path to success, this certain path to achievement, this certain path of life? And so divisions begin to start. How do I put my children above other children? How are they in the world of scholastics? How are they in the world of sports? I can even look at more obtuse things. Do they have enough friends, I can ask myself. I could ask myself, are they pretty enough? Are they witty enough? Are they likable enough? Do they dress good enough? And of course, I am comparing them all to some idealized standard of what a perfect 6 or 11-year-old girl would look like. What a perfect 6 or 11-year-old girl would do. We could do the same thing to a church. Is there enough of us here? Is it big enough? Is it new enough? Is it nice enough? Is the preacher old enough, male enough, handsome enough, wise enough, whatever it may be, and we compare it to some sort of standard. And the divisions start creeping in. This is what we want things to look like. We know that life doesn't offer participation awards. We want to exceed. We want to excel. We want to be the best. What is your income? Where do you rank in the world? What are your educational degrees? Where do you rank in the world? What size is your house? Where do you rank in the world? What community do you live in? Where do you rank in the world? What is your political party affiliation? Where do you rank in the world? We all need to be known for something. If a stranger were to go to somebody else, your friend, and they'd say, please describe to me your friend Sally Smith, or please describe to me your friend John Smith, how would they describe you? They might say, well, she is a nurse. Well, he is a teacher. They live in North Battleford. They live in Battleford. They have 6 kids. They have no kids. They are great at music. They are great at art. And the list would go on. And they would all be things of distinction, things that define you, that make you distinct to the world. And that's okay. We are meant to be distinct. We all cannot fall into the cookie-cutter mold of what life asks of us. We should all look different. We should all have different ideals. We should all have different educations. We should all have different experiences. This is what makes a community diverse and vibrant and strong. These are good things. We should not be one monolith. Thinking the same thing, voting the same way, doing the same things, eating the same things, believing the same things. That's not how God's blessed us. But we should not let these divisions define us. We should not say, I only want to fall into the group of the people that share the same dividing line as me. I only want to be with liberals. I only want to be with conservatives. I only want to be with New Democrats. I only want to be with those who voted for X party. I only want to be with white people. I only want to be with First Nations people. I only want to be fill in the blank. When we do this, we're letting divisions define our lives. Because why? We want to feel superior. I want to be in this group of people. We often choose the divisions that define us, because it puts us over. This division comes in terms of money and race and gender and power and identity. And the group we want to be in, we will naturally assume is better than the other groups. That's just human self-interest. We want to be the best. We don't want to be the kid that comes home from Little League Baseball bringing a participation trophy. We want to be the kid that comes home with the MVP trophy. We don't want to be the parent of the kid that comes home with the participation trophy. If we're honest, we want to be the parent of the kid that comes home with the MVP trophy. I don't want my kids just to participate in life. I want them to succeed in life. But how I live that desire, how I harness that desire, and how I'm aware of that desire affects how I parent, how I live. So today we have the gospel story of Jesus. And we can often talk about Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Son of God, Jesus the Messiah, and Jesus the Savior. But we should talk about Jesus of Nazareth, the historical person of Jesus. God chose to come to the world as Jesus. Born to refugee parents, a person with no standing, a person with no money, born in the backwater northern town of Nazareth. This is how God comes to us. This is how God wants to be known. We should never overlook Jesus of Nazareth. This is not a mistake, but God is saying something to the world. If we're going to be known for something, if the world is going to decide we are distinct for certain reasons, well, we should hope what those reasons can be. You see, God could have came with gold and power and riches and fortune and prestige and being handsome and well-read and well-liked and all these things that we strive for to distinguish ourselves from others. But God chose none of those things. God wanted to be known for love, for service, for siding with the vulnerable and the outcasts and the poor. God wanted to be known for prayer, for sacrifice, for humility. Not for power and prestige and military might and riches. So when these two disciples are arguing, who's going to be the greatest in heaven? Who's going to be on your left hand and your right hand? They've missed the whole thing of God. Because they want to be distinct from those other 10 disciples for being the best. They can't be happy with the participation award. It's not good enough simply to be a disciple of Christ. They want to be the best disciple of Christ. They want to be better than those around them. So to them, Jesus says, you know what? The way to glory is not through power, it's through service. It's not through muscle or might, it's through love. It's not through conquering, it's through suffering. What things are we known for? Do we want to be known for prayer? Known for stewardship, known for compassion, known for love, known for lending the helping hand, known for being inclusive, known for invitation, known for supporting other people? Or do we want to be known for other distinctions, the distinctions that the world says are so important to us? God has shown us the path through Jesus that we should strive for. That is the path that says we want to be distinct from the world around us because we're Christians and gosh darn it, we love people. And gosh darn it, we want to help people. And gosh darn it, we want to serve people. And gosh darn it, we want to pray for people. We don't want to be simply, hey, we're Christians. We have the biggest buildings in the community. We've got the biggest bank accounts in the community. We've got the most muscle in the community. We've got the best status in the community, the best prestige in the community. We don't strive for these things. We don't cultivate these things. We don't argue amongst ourselves, hey, Which church is going to be best in the kingdom of heaven? Who amongst us here is going to be at the right hand of God? Who's the best person for prayer in this congregation? Who's the best person for money in this congregation? No. Those are silly questions. Those are the questions the world wants to ask of you. Those are questions the world says, you know what? Which group do you fall into? Are you just participating in life? Or are you conquering life? I'm happy to participate. I'm happy to go towards life, trying to see it through the eyes of Christ. I want to succeed at what I do. But I want to succeed not so you think more of me. Not so I go to bed at night thinking more of myself than you. But I want to succeed because I think God has blessed me so richly that I want to do the most that I can. I want to be like the parable of the person that throws seeds out. I want to see the big harvest come. For me, that's the good news of the gospel. It's what we share together. This election brings up all sorts of division. Because that's how we're marketed to. There's no perfect political party. There's no truly evil political party. There's a difference of vision, difference of record, difference of plan. Sure. Difference of people. But us, the 35 million people who won't be going to Ottawa on Tuesday morning, we're the ones who are called out to live our vision. If we want a country that shows more compassion, a country that shows more love, a country that shows more welcoming, a country that works to make amends with Aboriginals, whatever our vision is of a better, richer, more blessed Canada, it's our job to live it out. We don't simply pass the buck to someone else and said, I spent 30 seconds putting an X on a ballot, now you take care of it for me. We're the ones in our places of work who offer a helping hand. We're the ones who are alone pray for the needs of our neighbor. We're the ones that pull in our wallet and support the needs of community initiatives. It's us. The 35 million, not the 338 in Ottawa, that really get these things done. It's the steak suppers for someone with cancer. It's a neighbor bringing their combine over to someone else's field before the frost comes. Someone sending a get well card to a sister-in-law. Whatever these little acts of kindness and love may be, this is what really changes the world. This is what creates the community and the country we want to live in. We're not so divided. We're not so fractured. We just need to ask ourselves, what do we want to be known for? Do we want to be known for love, or do we want to be known for power? Because both take us down a different path. As God comes to us in the person of Jesus, we see the path that God chooses. It is the path of welcome. It is the path of love. It is the path that, yes, leads to the cross. But it is also the path that leads to new life, new hope, and new opportunity. Amen.